With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now we will be continuing our Euro 2016 coverage with Dylan, who you may know from the Box to Box podcast at TBTB Podcast on Twitter. Dylan, we're here talking about Portugal. Obviously, the win against Wales was a big one, takes you to the final, upsetting pretty much all of the footballing world outside of Portugal and Portuguese fans. It was a very big match, ended in some very nice hugs between Real Madrid teammates. But what were your views during that match?
So the fairy tale's over for the Welsh. Sad to see them go, but obviously as a Portugal fan, that sadness isn't as deep as some. Going into the match, I was pretty confident. That was based around Ramsey and Davis being suspended for the Welsh. And their absence throughout the game was pretty telling. When the lineups came out, I saw that Bruno Alves was starting over Pepe. That confidence went out the window because I don't think Alves is any good, and he hasn't been that good for a while. Danilo, who technically isn't really as good as William Carvalho, I thought he did really well. And Fernando Santos now has a huge decision on who he's going to start in the final against France. The first half wasn't full of action at all, but Joe Allen did get a yellow card pretty early on, which I think had a significant influence on the game because his role in this Welsh team throughout the whole tournament, I feel, has been a sort of that niggly midfielder that's sort of been able to break up play and allow Aaron Ramsey to sort of get forward. And him getting a yellow card, I think it was about 8-9 minutes in, negated his influence on the game. But half time, I didn't really feel Wales tested us that much, barring a few long range efforts from Bale. But on the other hand, we didn't really test Wayne Hennessy in the Welsh goal. Second half, though, 5 minutes in, the tide swung massively in our favour. Portugal received what wasn't really picked up. It was probably a bit of a lucky corner. Andy King nearly prevented the ball going out for the corner. And some Welsh fans, I would imagine, would argue that it didn't go over the line. However, from the corner that was given, Guerrero, who has really made his name for himself being a really good set-piece taker, whipped in a corner, which led to Ronaldo leaping above the Welsh defence, thumping a header into the back of the net. It was really a textbook Ronaldo header. You could put it on a poster and it would go in any kid's room. And the whole team celebrated with him, which sort of dispels the myth that this isn't a United team. Yes, Ronaldo is the figure, the talisman. He's seen on in all the adverts for them, but everyone gets around him. So I think the team harmony is fine. I don't have anything against Bale. He was a key fantasy asset for me at Spurs a few years ago. And I feel he has the potential to win a Ballon d'Or in the years to come. But if Ronaldo, to whom he is often compared, if he was taking such outrageous shots, the media would be getting well into him and saying how he isn't a team player, he is selfish, he's a glory hunter. And in reality, I feel that neither Ronaldo or Bale are that. But I feel it's important to recognize that there is sort of that difference between how they are compared, when really Bale probably wasn't using his teammates how he should have, but you don't. I feel the comparisons aren't fair on Ronaldo. I'm not trying to sound like a Ronaldo apologist, but as someone who has supported him and seen him since he was 17 years old, I feel that sometimes I have to, because I feel that he gets a bit of a bad run. But anyway, 2-0, fairly comfortable in the end. Bring on the French.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a second. I do want to talk a little bit about this kind of narrative versus reality thing, but not just Ronaldo, but with this whole Portuguese team. We talked last time about how there was this Portugal haven't won except for when they have thing that was going on. Already, I'm hearing some people in previews saying that Portugal are just going to set up to defend against France. What kind of misconceptions like that would you like to dispel about how this Portuguese team is set up and plays?
I think against France, they probably will just set up to defend and hit on the counterattack. But in Portuguese football history, that's been the best football that they play. And I think when Greece set up to defend for a whole tournament back in 2004, no one was saying, oh, they didn't deserve it. When really, I went to two of those games back in 2004, and they were quite average to watch. But everyone was saying how that's one of the great miracles of football, the biggest miracle until Leicester won the league this year.
Yeah, I don't think too many people were predicting either of those. Another question, we're currently seeing a rotation between Andre Gomes and Renato Sanches. Sanches has been getting the starts lately, with Gomes coming on as a substitute. How do you see both of them fitting into this Portugal side in this tournament and in the future?
All right. So going forward into the qualifiers and, you know, the Portuguese national team generally, I would expect to see Renato Sanches and Andre Gomes in front of either Danilo or Juan Carvalho in a three, if they revert back to 4-3-3, which they've played most of the last decade or so. If Santos stays in charge, which he probably will, considering how successful the campaign's been, he's been playing 4-4-2 with a narrow four in the middle. The other midfielder will probably be Matinho or João Mário. But yeah, the problem with Andre Gomes is the consistency just isn't there. And that's not consistency over just a season. It's consistency within a game. You can have a fantastic half and be absent in the second half. And for someone who, if he was consistent for a whole game, his creative ability, he could be the main number 10, the main playmaker. That could hinder his opportunities for Portugal. But the talent is easily there. But yeah, like I said, I don't think he'll play a role in the final.
All right, well, who do you think will play a big role in the final, and what do you predict happening in this match against France?
France in the final. I just want to say France actually knocked Portugal out of the 2006 World Cup semi-final stage thanks to a Zinedine Zidane penalty, which, you know, it isn't a full-blown grudge, but we did deserve to win that match. But it'll be intriguing to see how this one turns out, obviously for me, but also for the neutrals, I feel. We did play France in a friendly last year. They won that game 1-0, but Mathieu Valbuena scored, so that shows how irrelevant that game is. my mum actually asked me, after I told her that Portugal had won, she asked who I'd prefer to verse, and I said that, you know, it didn't really matter whoever we got, because they were going to be world class regardless. It's the final of the European Championship, and even though France beat Germany 2-0, either side would have been extremely challenging in different ways. Looking forward to the game though. 3 days time, we get an extra day's rest, which could help, considering that we did have the two 120-minute games previous to Wales. It'll be interesting to see how Fernando Santos lines up this Portugal side Alves was impressive, but for me, Pepe surely comes back in if he's 90% fit. Because I think that's just a risk you have to take. Pepe is Portugal's best defender. He'd be in the top five, maybe top three centre-backs at the Euros. I did say in the last podcast how I was really impressed by his performance in the last game. And I did actually say on the Box podcast that he was my tip for man of the match. So I wasn't entirely wrong. His replacement was quite impressive. Another question, does Danilo start with Carvalho back from suspension? That's a real tricky one for mine. I wouldn't be too surprised if a naturally conservative Santos plays both of them, maybe one as sort of the anchor, which would be Danilo, and the other sort of a deep-lying ball player. And then you probably have João Mário and Renato Sanches in front of them, and then obviously Ronaldo and Nani up front. João Moutinho, if he starts, he'd probably start for either Danilo or Carvalho. I'd want to see him in the starting lineup because I feel that he adds a lot of balance to the Portugal side. You would imagine, like I was saying earlier, the Portugal aren't going to dominate this game and they're probably going to have less than 40% of the ball. The concerns, I think Giroud has been good in this tournament, but in physical terms, I think our centre-backs have enough to match him there. Payet is a dream, but he hasn't been as good in the last couple of games. He did score in Iceland, but compared to his first two games where he was the man for the French. Pogba hasn't replicated his club form. He hasn't been bad, as some of the media have said, in the Euros, but he hasn't been as good as he has been for Juventus in the last couple of seasons. But for those who've watched his career, they will all know that he could easily sweep this Portugal team aside. The obvious concern is Antoine Griezmann. Just scored a double against Germany in the semi. For mine, he has been the player of the tournament so far, 6 goals. And you'd think that if Atletico won the Champions League, he'd be up there with the favourites for the Ballon d'Or. And to be fair, he could probably still make the top three, probably deservedly. Some pundits have sort of said, oh, he reminds them of Jamie Vardy, which I think is a bit of a disservice to Griezmann. I sort of see the sense of that in the sense of he's got a lot of pace and a willingness to harry defenders. However, the finishing and control that Griezmann has puts him in the top echelon of strikers, up there with your Suarez's and your Lewandowski's. And it's interesting to see how in the Copa America, Suarez didn't get on at all for his suspension, and Lewandowski didn't have the best of tournaments, and Griezmann has really, really been fantastic. But regardless of whoever we have on the field, I think Griezmann will be the biggest concern. Lloris, he was in fine form against Germany. He made a couple of outstanding saves. I don't feel he was at his best against Iceland, but I don't think the whole French side was the best in the second half, which, you know, is understandable. Koscielny and Umtiti will probably start at centre-back. I don't think Adel Rami is very good, and Mangala is, I guess, questionable if he's a good defender either. The media will probably say that is the centre-backs, the defence is a weakness. But I feel both players have extreme quality, and it's a surprise that Umtiti has only got 2 caps for the French, because I feel of them, maybe Varane might be the best player. He's been outstanding for Lyon recently. For Portugal to win, Carvalho and Danilo, they'll need to have 9 out of 10 games. Ronaldo will have to be near his best. And the back five, including Rui Patricio in goals, will need to be really alert. Renato Sanches, He'll probably start, and that'll be the first big clash between Paul Pogba and him, who I feel that sort of player rivalry could be something that could develop over the next decade. For a prediction, it's going to be extremely difficult, but a 1-0 win could see us become European champions. And as someone that was in Portugal in 2004 when we lost to Germany, lost to Greece, of course, that would be the greatest sporting – this would be the greatest sporting moment of my life.
All right. Well, I do wish you the best of success in that one. I think Portugal winning in France would be one of the larger upsets also in recent sporting history, especially with them being hosts, and they do have a tremendous record at home when they are in major tournaments. But best of luck to you, and we look forward to speaking soon. Why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dylan Eloy Arvella. I also host the Box to Box podcast, which you can find on iTunes and on Twitter at TBTB Podcast. Cheers for having me, and vamos Portugal.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.